Acts 27:27. The Bible says when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in the Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. We will stop there with the reading of the Word. But notice in verse 28, and this is what we'll take for a text verse, they found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. As you read the Bible, a lot of times you'll read it, and I hope you read it every day, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, but a lot of times you'll read things, and certain occasions, certain things will pop out at you. That's the power of the Word of God, because it's not just words on paper. It is living, it is breathing. And so these words, the sounding, popped out at me, and I did not know what that was. And so if you don't know something, yeah, if you lack wisdom, you ask, and you have a good internet source. Amen. But ask the Lord to help me to find what I needed to find. And so it's a nautical term. Paul used a lot of nautical terms when he was writing the Bible, the Apostle Paul. And this is a nautical term. And so when I found it, what sounding meant, and I'll just tell you very briefly what it is. Sounding, basically, it would take a large anchor, so to speak, and it would be a rope tied onto the end of that anchor. And every so many fathoms, they would have a piece of leather wrapped around the rope. And then every so many fathoms, say 15, 20 fathoms, 25 fathoms, they would have another collar piece of rope. And what they would do, they would take that anchor, they would throw it out into the sea, and then when the anchor would hit the bottom, they'd pull the rope taut, and that's how they knew how far they were to the shore. Because, of course, the closer a ship gets to the shore, they need to know how far they are, or if it's in the dark, they'll crash into the seashore. So they have to know how close they are to the shore. And so as I was reading this, I know it's simple, but it just never popped into my head. But they sounded, and it was how many? 20 fathoms. And then they sounded again, and it was 15 fathoms. And here's the thought for the message. They were getting nearer the shore. They were nearing the shore. And as we near our heavenly shore, just as Paul in this chapter, they faced a few things. And as we near our heavenly shore, I guarantee you'll face these three things that I'm mentioning tonight. First of all, before you get to the shore, you're going to face some storms. We find the beginning of the chapter, the Bible says, the south wind blew softly. That means everything was calm. Everything was normal. Everything was ready to go. And so they said, let's set sail. It's time to go. But just like our lives, when everything seems normal, when everything seems to be going just fine and no problems, boom, a storm hits. A storm hit these sailors. In fact, they named the storm, and we name storms almost weekly here in America. But this storm had a special name. It was called Euroclydon. And the word Euroclydon simply means that this was a storm of boisterous winds and high waves. They started out in calm weather. Everything was fine, but all of a sudden, a storm arose and beat their ship. How many of us that go through everyday lives and we think everything's going fine today, but then you get that phone call? Everything's going fine, but then someone sends you an email. Everything's going fine, but then you meet a car coming head on. Everything's going fine, but then you go to the doctor's office and they give you a bad report. Storms will happen to us before we reach our heavenly shore. I guarantee it. If you haven't been in a storm, you're about ready to get in one. And if you're in the middle of one now, thank God there's going to be hope for you. But I'm telling you, it's not a matter of if you're going to get into a storm. It's when you'll get into the storm. But notice the purpose of the storm. There's a reason why God sends storms in our life. And most of the time, it's for us to look to the one that can get us out of the storm. The peace speaker, the one that controls the winds and the waves. And many times the storms that happen will direct our paths. As I mentioned last night, I've lived my life by Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God according to His purpose. And so many times God has allowed, yes, God does allow storms in our life, first of all, for me to trust Him, and to secondly direct my path. And even though it hurt going through the storm, even though I was broken, beaten, and battered, I look after the storm now and say, thank you, Lord. If I didn't have a storm, I wouldn't know where I was going. There's a purpose for the storm. And the ultimate purpose for any storm is for us to glorify God no matter what situation we're going through. Notice the purpose of the storm. But then notice the presence during the storm. Paul was there with those shipmen. And he said, listen, fellas, you don't have to worry about it. Because there stood by me in the night the presence of God with me to tell me none of us are going to die. We're all going to make it safely to the other side. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know that right in the middle of your fiercest storm, right in the middle of your cancer treatment, right in the middle of the death of your son or your daughter, right in the midst of that car wreck, thank God Jesus can come and stand beside you and say, you may think no one's around and it's going to hurt a little bit, but I will be right here and I'll lead you safely through the storm. Hallelujah. The purpose of the storm, the presence during the storm. And I'm thankful the Lord is always there with us. I don't share too many personal things in my sermons, but I just want to share something with you because I think it may help someone tonight. You know, sometimes we go through life and as an assistant pastor and as Calvin Ray's assistant, we're bigger targets for the devil. And even though you may be doing nothing wrong, sometimes the devil just likes to put a fleeting thought in your mind. What's the use? You might as well go ahead and give up. And to be very honest with you, a few weeks ago, I faced a spiritual uraclidin in my life. I woke up not being able to handle the things that were placed upon me. And to be very honest with you, I told my wife, I said, Heather, what's the use? You preach and no one comes. People you pray for, they don't get saved. We travel miles and go to hospitals. And I'm not saying this for a pity party. I'm just saying this is what the devil tells you. You go to hospitals and you pray with people. And you wonder, is it really worth it? And the devil, for a fleeting thought in my mind, said, Brian, might as well just go ahead and quit it. There's no use. You ought to enjoy time with your family. You ought to be able to spend the rest of your life being happy. See, that's what the devil will put in your mind. My mind was clouded. My thoughts were clouded. I couldn't think straight. My focus was all wrong. Wasn't doing anything wrong. But my focus was out of whack. And the storms began to blow. And the winds began to blow. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And so I went to our church. No one was there at the time. And I opened the door and I went down to the altar. I went to the center altar. And I began to pray. And I was there and I really didn't say much for about 10 or 15 minutes. I just cried because of the heavy burden that I was brought upon myself. So as those winds began to blow and the waves were crashing into my vessel, I said, Lord, I need you. And I can't tell you exactly what happened. The Lord didn't speak with an audible voice. But I tell you, there stood by me in the middle of Rubyville Community Church the presence of God. And I tell you what I felt. I felt His arms wrap around the back of me. And He lifted me up. I was still on the ground, but the burden of that storm had lifted. And I heard the words in my mind, peace be still. Peace be still. He said, Brian, I brought you to this place. And listen, don't give up, Brian. You drew near the shore now to give up. Everything you're doing is worth it. I'm right here beside you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And yes, I had to go through the storm. What? But thank God for the presence of God. Hallelujah. You may be ready to give up tonight, but I'm telling you, there can stand by you tonight. Jesus Christ said, I'm here. I'm here. Heather said, "Your preaching's better. Your singing's better." I said, "You know why? Because Jesus lifted the burden." Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What? Hallelujah. Feels good. The presence during the storm. The purpose. But notice the promise during the storm. He said, "Some on boards and some on broken pieces, but you're all going to make it." Oh yeah, we're going to face them, Brad Williamson. We're going to face storms. You might as well bank on it. You're going to face them. But the ultimate purpose is for us to glorify God. And His presence will stand beside us. But as He stands beside us, He'll whisper in our ears, "Yes, you're going to have to go through it. But the key word is through it. You're not going to stay in the storm too long." Why? Because you're nearing the shore. And when you reach the shore, thank God, storms will be over. Hallelujah. We're going to face storms before we reach the shore. As we're near the shore, we're going to face sickness too. The Bible says in this chapter that their ship became broken under the weight of the waves and the boisterous wind. And as we go through storms, I guarantee many of you here tonight are facing sickness on an everyday basis. I don't know how many people call our office on a weekly, daily basis. Prayed with two or three of them today on the phone. Need help. So much pain. Fighting cancer. Going through treatments. And as we get near the shore, I hate to say this, but it's going to get more frequent. I don't mean to bring a downer on it, but I'm just saying, let's face facts. You're going to face sickness. Paul knew what it meant to face sickness. He listed a whole bunch of them in Corinthians. Talked about sickness, stripes, deaths often, rods. He was stoned, shipwrecked 3 times. Dozens of perils. The pain he faced, the weariness, the hunger, the thirst, the cold, the nakedness. And he says, beside all this, the cares of the church. He knew what it meant to face sickness. Didn't he even pray that the Lord would remove it? I mean, this is the Apostle Paul now. He said, "Lord, there's been a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." A lot of people debate on what it was, but listen, it was a whole bunch of things. The messenger of Satan to buffet means he felt like every day of his life, Satan. That's what the word buffet means, to hit with a fist. When he'd wake up, Satan was there with his sickness. Satan was there with his blindness. Satan was there with his crooked back. And every day of your life, you get up. Oh. And Satan, where's your God at now? If you were a Christian, why would you have to go through that? If God loves you, why would you have to face cancer? If God loves you, why would you have to face liver failure? If God loves you, why isn't your baby getting wetter? Paul said, "Lord, remove it." He didn't do it, did he? He prayed again, "Lord, remove it." No. He prayed 3 times. He said, "Lord, remove this." God said, "No, Paul, I'm not going to remove it. But my form of mathematics is this. I will add something to your sickness." And he added grace. He said, "I'm not taking all that away, but I'm adding grace with the sickness so you can make it to the other side." I've had to carry type 1 diabetes. And I wear an insulin pump. A lot of you know that. I'm not going to go into all those boring details. But 23 years now, been on insulin dependent. And you know, been raised in a Christian home, I know the power of healing. There's only divine healing in my book. Every healing is divine healing. And that's all I've ever known. I've been prayed for. I've been anointed. Prayer closet went up when I first had it. And at one time, I even stopped the insulin. I said, Lord, I've got to exercise my faith. And I believe God to do it. Kevin, I believe Him to do it. But yet I got so sick. God gave me common sense too. And I prayed. I prayed, Lord, to remove that. I said, Lord, I come from a good home. Why can I not be healed of this diabetes? And God has assured me. I don't pray for it anymore. Because He told me. He said, Brian, I will not remove that. He said, Brian, that's cold. Did God? No, listen. But just like Paul, He's adding grace. So that I can get up here tonight on September 9, 2011 and tell you, in 23 years, I have never been in the hospital one time for diabetes-related problems. Not one time. My vision, no problems. Circulation, no problems. I'm gaining weight, but who cares? Delight thyself in fatness. Amen. Buffet to body daily. You need any more word? Bodily exercise profiteth little. It's in the Bible. See, yeah. Amen. Somebody shout right there. Glory. Amen. But listen, I'm trying to tell you, God may not take away those diseases and sicknesses that you carry. But as you're near the shore, He'll give you just a little bit more grace to carry that. They face storms. They face sickness. But finally, the very last verse of chapter 27 says this. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. They faced storms. They faced sickness. But they made it safe. That word there, escaped. Look at that. The word escaped. That's an odd term to use right in the middle of this. So I looked it up. The word escaped is a Greek word which means to preserve through danger. To bring safely through. To rescue. To bring safely through. Preserve through danger. To rescue. Some on boards, some on broken pieces, but He is saying they all made it safely through. Now listen, think about it. We're nearing the shore, right? This same word. The same Greek word is also found in the book of Matthew. Whenever it says that they desired to touch the hem of His garment, that they would be made whole. The word whole, the word escaped, are the same words. Now think about this. They made it safe to land. He brought them safely through. When they made it, they were made completely whole. When did that happen? It's when they got to the shore. Well, glory to God. We're going to face storms. We're going to face sickness. But hold on just a little bit longer. We're all going to make it safely through. We're all going to make it whole and complete. We'll be in a brand new world with brand new bodies, likened unto the image of Christ. Paul spent more time on the water than he did on land, probably. And in 2 Timothy 4:6, he gave another sailing term. He said, Timothy, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. What was he saying? He said, I've boarded the ship to go home. And it's about ready to debark. And I'm about ready to get on board on the other side. This past June, my wife and I and my family got to go on a wonderful vacation. And we got to go to the first time on a cruise. We went to Mexico. And boy, we had a great time. Best thing about it, no phones for like 5 days. That was great. Pastor, say amen right there. But no, it was really good. We had a really good time with the kids and just a good relaxing time. And this is our first time, and some of our church family, they told me, don't worry, you'll have fun. It's no worries whatsoever. But still, we were green to it. We just wanted to make sure we got safely on board and got safely off the ship. You know what I mean? Especially with two kids and my son. You got to know my son. It's very important that we get him off the ship. So, I'm sorry, Alex. He's here tonight. But So anyway, the day before we was about ready to get off the ship, they give us some debarkation information. This means this is what you need to do in order to leave the ship and make it home. And so I really wasn't being too spiritual at that moment. I just wanted to get off the boat. You know what I mean? And so we followed the instructions. We made it safely home. And as I was studying for this message, Lord said, look back over that information. And so I did. With my spiritual eyes on this time, I caught something new. Now, really, remember, we're nearing the shore. I was about ready to go home, but I was still on the ship. And I wasn't just allowed to get off the boat anytime I wanted to. The first thing you have to do before you get off the boat is you got to wait on the captain to call you. And see, what we what I had to do is we had certain zones that we had to wait in. We were zone H. So that means later in the morning, we was going to get off the boat. But we didn't know what time it was. They say it could be from here to here, but it all depends how long it takes everybody else to get off the boat. So from A till R letter, we had to wait. Now we just got in our one little corner and we just waited. We waited. Now by this time, a lot of them had already got off the ship and made it home. But we were still waiting to get off the ship. But the time came. The captain or the crew leader. Zone H! You're now ready to debark the ship. And so I got my family. I got Heather. I got Alex. I got Abby. I said, come on, kids. Come on. Let's go. So we got in line to get off the ship. A lot of us pray. A lot of you that are sick tonight, many times you call our office and say, I'd love to go home. I wish I could go home right now. Some of you have lost loved ones. I mean, loved ones that already went on to heaven. You say, I just want to be with them. I want to go to heaven. But listen, you can't just leave the ship anytime. You got to wait for the captain to call you. And one of these days, the ship's going to anchor. And he'll say, Brian Mayer, you're now ready to debark the ship. And I'll step off and make it safe to the other side. But before we get off the boat, now that was the first thing, we had to wait on a call. But second, we had to fill out this form. And it was called a declaration form. We had to declare anything we was bringing from the foreign country. So we had to declare and write down anything that we bought. And I found something interesting. Now put on your thinking caps here. This is free. Put on your thinking caps. We could not bring any flesh from the foreign country into the home. Couldn't do it. You weren't allowed. In fact, me and Heather can't give blood for a year because we've been in a foreign country. We couldn't bring any flesh from that foreign country. Then the Bible says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a whole other sermon. Let me move on. So we had to write down anything. We didn't have nothing to declare. So we made it okay. But imagine me going to that spiritual customs agent in heaven. Me making it, waiting for my call, and then I make it to the spiritual customs agent, and he says, do you have anything to declare from the old country? Do you have anything to declare from where you came from? And I'll say, yes, sir, I've got diabetes. And he'll say, I'm sorry, you can't bring that into this country. I'll say, well, I've got some titanium screws and plates in my back from a back surgery. And he'll say, I'm sorry, you can't bring those in here either. And I'll say, well, I've got some contacts in to help me see a little better because of my astigmatism. He'll say, I'm sorry, you won't need any glasses or contacts in here. I'll say, well, I've got some fake teeth on the end. He said, no, I'm sorry, you've got to leave that on the outside. Some of you will be walking up with canes and rolling in wheelchairs. And he'll say, do you have anything to declare? And you'll say, I got this old oxygen tank. I've got this old limp. I've got some old arthritis. He'll say, I'm sorry, you can't bring that into this new country. What? Glory to God! The only thing we have to declare is the grace of God. Hallelujah! Glory to God. But then, now listen now. One other thing I had to do before I could get in home. I had to have my proof of citizenship. Now that involved a passport for me and my family. The customs agent would take the passport, he'd look at me. Look at the passport, look at me. Check my name out, make sure everything's good. He'd stamp it, say, "Welcome home, Mr. Bear." Do the same thing with all my family. See, because every one of us had to have a proof of citizenship. You can't make it into home under your own merit or your good looks. No, they're going to have to look at your passport in order to make it home. And so when we get to heaven, he'll say, "Where's your proof of citizenship?" And I'll say, "Well, I tell you what, would you go to my Heavenly Father and ask Him?" And Jesus will step up and say, "Sir, listen, on September the 6th, 1981, Mr. Bear, Brian Mark Bear, in fact, at the age of 5 years old, came down the center aisle at Northmoreland Christian Baptist Church, and he asked me into his heart. And from that time forth, the blood has been applied to his life. And so, Father, he's welcoming in because the blood has been applied." Hey, listen, that's the proof of our citizenship into that heavenly country. Thank God it's the blood of God's only Son is the reason we're going to be in heaven. The blood is vital. You have to have the blood in order to live. Do you realize that 5 quarts of blood travel through your body every 23 seconds and they touch every cell in your body every 23 seconds? I got something better than that. One drop of Jesus' blood can cleanse you from all your sin and unrighteousness. He's going to be looking for one thing, and that's the blood. The blood's so important in the Old Testament. In fact, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 9 says, "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second with the high priest alone, not without blood, which he offered up for himself and for the heirs of his people." And then a couple of verses later, "But Christ being come a high priest of greater things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither with the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all." Oh, I could go up to the heavenly customs agent and say, "I've got a great mommy and daddy." He'll say, "That's not what I'm looking for." He'll say, "I've got a good family." "That's not what I'm looking for." He'll say, "I go to a good church." "That's not what I'm looking for." "Oh, I've given the offering time and time again." "That's not what I'm looking for." He'll be looking for one thing, and that's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And then when we reach that heavenly shore, we'll make it safe. Escaping this world. The ship is about ready to pull in. If we can listen to heaven right now, Jesus is saying, "Sound the sea!" And an angel might say, 20 fathoms. A little bit later, he'll say, "Sound the sea." He'll say, 15 fathoms, sir. We're getting nearer the shore. Loved ones already went on. They're waiting for us. I don't know. Of course, this camp meeting bringing our minds back to Calvin and Doris. He's already anchored. He's already stepped off. But when he reached that other side, he didn't have that limp from polio. And when I see him again, I'll know who he is, but he'll be so much different. If he were here tonight, he'd probably sing something like this.
Himself now, He'll be there.
as the printers get ready to come and sing. I'm thankful tonight that our ship is getting near the shore. The question is, are you ready for the captain to call you? He'll call every one of us, saved or unsaved. And in that day, will you be ready? Will you make it safe to land?